Hello and welcome to a very special episode of The Laydown. I'm Ryan and I'm so delighted to share the interview I got to do with Allie Hazelwood. I adore Allie Hazelwood's STEM romance novels, The Love Hypothesis and Love on the Brain, and I was so excited to have her on the podcast to talk about her latest novel, Love Theoretically, which is out now. I had such a fun time chatting with her about so many different things, so let's jump right into my interview with Allie Hazelwood. Hi, Allie Hazelwood, how are you?
Hi, I'm good. I'm great.
I am so thrilled to have you on the podcast. I'm so excited.
Okay, so I also am super excited. I'm going to say something and it might be super weird, but has anyone told you that you look a lot like Daisy Ridley?
Thank you.
Has anyone told you before?
No, that's a new one.
Wait,
I'm into
for
it.
Real? Like, you are like her copy. And like, I say it's the biggest compliment, but like,
you
have the same smile and I love it. Sorry.
Oh, my goodness.
I kept looking at you and I was like, why does she look so familiar to me? Why does she feel so familiar?
Oh my gosh. Thank you. I'm going to float on that for the rest of my day. Thank you.
It's the truth. It's facts. Like,
I love that. Thank you. So I am very lucky in that I got to read an early copy of your new book, which, much to the jealous nature of my coworkers and all of that, we are, 8 days from U.S. publication. So congrats on that. Yay.
Thank you. Yeah, we made it alive.
Does that ever get like easier or less weird publication?
I have to say it got like, I sort of learned over the course of last year that like I shouldn't be online or looking at reviews or looking at anything. And as I stopped doing that, mm-hmm. like this has been the lead up to publication that has been the easiest.
Awesome.
Because I just, you know, I just don't know what's going on. So
that's great.
Yes.
I love that. Well, I can tell you that I loved Love Theoretically. It's
Thank
so
good.
I loved all of your books. But for the folks who haven't gotten to read it yet, could you give us the little synopsis? Tell us about it.
Of course. So Love Theoretically is the story of Elsie, a young physicist who is in the process of applying for her dream job, which is a tenure track professorship at MIT. What happens is that when she waltz into MIT to do her interview and like knock it out of the park, she sees that one of the people on the hiring committee is the brother of the older brother of the guy she has been fake dating. And she doesn't have a great relationship with this guy. But another problem is that this guy knows her as a different person because she creates new personalities when she fake dates. And so that is that's kind of the setup. And then, you know, a bunch of things happen as usual.
Yes, many things. Oh my gosh. This book was such a trip. Just like everything that happened, I was like, oh my God, what's going to happen next?
Thank you. That is the dream to be told that.
it was so much fun. And I love all the characters and it was just delightful. I want to talk a little bit about women in STEM because, mm-hmm. you know, you're known for writing these STEM romances and highlighting in particular the difficulties and also the triumphs of women in STEM. And I wondered if you could talk a little bit about your own experiences as a woman in STEM.
Right. So I'm a neuroscientist I have to say that, you know, there have definitely been times where I felt like, when I was the only woman in the room and, for example, like when I joined my PhD program, I was the only woman in a cohort mm-hmm. of eight. And, you know, it's not the same every year, but like it felt kind of isolating for me. Mm-hmm. It just kind of felt like, oh, well, there's no one who's like me in this space. Mm-hmm. Does it mean that I don't belong here or that I shouldn't be here or that mm-hmm. like I'm not meant to be here? So just generally it's a male dominated field. Like STEM and many, many other fields tend to still be male dominated, and it's kind of hard sometimes to be a woman in them, just because you feel like you don't belong. And yeah, so that's kind of like the that's my experience. But also I have to say that as a woman in STEM, I met like so many of my best friends through my research and my job. So there are also these amazing support networks that are fantastic, really.
Yeah, I love that. And I love that we're seeing, particularly right now, this amazing push towards women in STEM, and especially I see it a lot in stuff for young kids and encouraging kids to go into STEM. And I mean, like my kids, we have like board books that are like, quirks for babies. Like it just really, really cool. A really cool shift, I think, is happening. I
Yeah, I
love.
love that. It's just this idea that it's not like, STEM is for boys and the humanities are for girls, but like everyone can just do everything. And it's pretty obvious, of course, when you think about it rationally, but like sometimes you internalize stuff when you're growing up in an environment where you don't see a lot of, like people who people who are in the career path that you want to follow. So, yeah.
Well, I love that. And I love that your books bring that to light, but in like a in a fun,
Thank
romancy
you.
way, which is delightful. I also want to talk a little bit about fan fiction because I know that's how you got your start, which I love. Can you talk a little bit about that? I know you've probably answered this question 10 million times, but I am just delighted by it.
I would literally like I can talk about fan fiction and fic and fandom. Like I will never tire to talk about it.
Oh,
It's just
good.
it's such a pleasure to just celebrate fangirliness. But yeah, like I wrote fan fiction. Like I never really wrote any fiction until I was in my late 20s, and then I sort of got obsessed with Star Trek, which I had already been obsessed with Star Trek when I was a teen, and I like wrote fan fiction in my head, but I didn't know it was a thing that people would like write stuff and post it online. And yeah, so what happened was that like I was writing it, and then I decided that I also wanted to write it, and yeah, and kind of that spiraled into now me publishing books.
Love that.
It's been such a journey, and it's been so cool.
I love that. Do you still dabble in fan fiction at all, or are you too
I
busy?
yeah, I mean, I'm at a point where kind of writing is such a job that I don't like decompress by writing anymore. So, but I read it all the time, and it still has a fantastic place in my heart, and it's still my favorite.
Oh, I love that. What are your like number one fandoms right now?
It really varies based on like the show that I am watching. Like I was
Totally.
watching Ted Lasso, and I was reading Ted Lasso fan fiction. I got really into House of the Dragon fan fiction for a while there,
Ooh,
but I was watching the show. Yeah, like it really depends on whatever like media I am currently obsessed with. This month I was rewatching Parks and Rec, and so I was reading Adam Scott and Leslie Knope fan fiction. Like it's really just like
Amazing.
it becomes so random. And then
Oh, yeah,
of
I love
course,
it.
like all the fandoms that I've been in the past, I have a lot of favorite authors, and I still get like emails that they have updated a fan fiction or they're writing something
Oh.
new, and I'm like, I run there every time.
I love that. I love that. I mean, there's something about like you never forget your first fanfic, and like I literally like 2 years ago realized that I could search for the fanfic author for like the first one ever, and I found her on Twitter, and I was like, hi.
I know. I know. It's like it's I remember the first time I met in person someone that I had met through fandom, and I was
Oh my
like,
gosh.
these people are my friends, like, and I
Yeah.
love them. And it
Yeah.
was just amazing,
That's incredible. I love that. All right. So bringing it back to science for a minute, there is a feud in the book between theoretical and experimental physicists. And I have to know, is that a real feud in the scientific community?
Okay, I highly exaggerated it, but there is a conversation within the world of physics, and I'm not a physicist, so I'm really talking based on what I have read in
Right, yeah.
Reddit threads, and like generally in like op-eds. There is a trend that basically is saying, like, there are some experimentalists, so experimental physicists. So the experimental physicists are the ones who, do more the experiments, and they try to like falsify or prove the theories that have been developed by theorists. And the idea is that it feels like theory has become a little bit unhinged, and it's kind of gotten to a point where there are these theories that are not fully demonstrable with the technology that we have at this point, and it's kind of like doing its own thing, while in the meantime, experimental physics is, doing actual real stuff. But I think it's a way more nuanced conversation that than what I'm making it. Like, my understanding is that in most settings, theorists and experimentalists collaborate, and one group needs the other. Take everything I'm saying with a grain of salt because I'm not a physicist.
I get
I mean,
that.
I know about the neuroscience feuds, but I don't know about the physics feuds.
Oh,
Every field has its own feuds.
that's amazing. I love the like drama of the science community.
Oh my God.
That's
It's I was writing this for a special edition of the book. I don't remember which one. I was writing this essay about like academic drama, and
good.
I was like, it was really fun to just put it in writing, this feeling that I always had, which is that people are never so passionate than about something that has relatively low stakes. So you will find that people argue in a way that is absolutely unhinged about like what like a small part of the brain actually does, but that doesn't really have any implications for people's health or like even for these people's careers. Like, there are literally no stakes and no consequences, which makes the arguing even more incendiary, and
That's so funny.
there's something fascinating about that. I love it.
I love that. That's
Actually,
unhinged and amazing.
yeah, no, I mean, I love how petty academics are, because also like we are so consumed by what we study and by our work. Like, we literally spend our entire day in the lab. So when we step out and someone tells us you're wrong, like, it's literally, it's on. Yes.
No, that makes a ton of sense. It's like, excuse me. That's incredible. Now you're, you're obviously you're in academics, you're a professor. There are, for listeners, there are these like little emails throughout the book from students to Elsie, who is a professor. I am curious, what is, if you can share, what is maybe the most unhinged email or like craziest excuse you've gotten from a student? Because I know, like, they brought me
Yeah, oh
way
yeah.
back to college. I was like, oh, I remember I remember this type of thing.
I had a student told me that she couldn't make a meeting, and I think, I don't know if I end up cutting it, but like I think it's in the book. I had a student, she couldn't make a meeting because she had to bring her dog, take her dog to the groomer. And you know what? Like, I am a dog lover. And honestly, if it was me, I would also prioritize bringing the dog to the groomer, but I would lie better. Just tell me that you have an emergency. Like, it's you don't have to go into that. Or like, sometimes it's very hard. Sometimes students make it very hard when they are almost too honest. Like, I remember having someone telling me that they wanted to take the test in advance because they were going out for the weekend for a bachelorette party. And like, as much as I really want to help you out, if you tell me this, I cannot, like, I cannot do anything. Just lie better.
That's so, yeah, I was cracking up at all the different emails and the wild excuses, and it's like, oh, this kid's like seventh grandmother at some time.
Yes.
Oh my God, yeah. I have to feed my gerbil, sorry.
Yes.
I liked the one that was like, oh, it's the end of the year. I haven't come to class all year because I just can't find it on the map. Can you help me?
Okay, that is so common. Like, generally getting emails 2 weeks before, and I have never made attendance mandatory for my classes 2 weeks before the classes because I come from the European school of thought that you are in college and I'm not going to force you to come to class if you don't want to. Like, if you think you can do the work at home or like by watching the recording set, it's absolutely fine. You are your own person, you're an adult. I believe in you. So I don't take attendance, but like, that makes it so that certain people are, they're not watching the lectures from home. They are just not doing anything. And you get this absolutely bonkers emails 2 days before all the assignments are due saying, okay, I'm working through all the assignments and I saw that for the third one, I need to do this. Could you explain it to me? And I'm like, do you? Is this? And you know what? I root for them. I hope you make it. I hope you make it.
Oh my God, I love it so much. College is
Yeah.
wild. It
I
what a
know.
time.
And you know what? Like, I'm gonna be honest. If I think about when I was in college, I remember more fondly when I was like spending time with my friends and doing like fun stuff or weird stuff than about like classes. So I'm definitely the type of professor who's like, put that before your studying experience. But again, just lie better.
Yeah, just
Lie
come up
to
with your
me.
list of
I
excuses and
exactly. Please just lie to me. That's all I ask.
like I know I'm cool, but I'm not that cool.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I know I'm cool, but I don't want to get fired. So there's
Yeah.
that.
That's amazing. Thinking about all of the amazing characters in this book, is there one in particular who is most fun to write?
It's well, I really like writing the hedgehog. It's she hates Elsie,
She hates
and
her so much.
it's reciprocal. It's funny, when I was writing the book, I kind of had this feeling that I would have Hedgie kind of like go and like snuggle next to Elsie when Elsie was feeling down, to show that like deep down they love each other. But then I was like, no, I am bringing this hate. I am carrying it through till
I
the bitter
love
end.
that. I love
And so yeah, she was fun to write. I mean, Cece is just like your regular sort of odd, quirky, kind of like one of a kind roommate, and she was of course very very fun to write, and she's a perfect foil to Elsie because one of the problems that Elsie has is that like she's such a people pleaser that she kind of tries to mold her personality into whatever it is that like others want from her, but but then you have Cece who's just like, this is my personality. If you're okay with it, good. If you're not, goodbye. And that's it's fun to like just write the opposites. I also loved writing Millicent, who is Jack's grandmother,
She's
just because
awesome.
She is awesome and horrible, and it's just fun to write horrible characters who say terrible things. And so yeah, I loved writing her.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah, there were so many good characters. I was like, everyone I meet, I was like, this is my favorite character. Nope, this is my favorite. It's just, I love them all. Speaking of favorite things to write, what is your favorite trope to write?
Okay, so I love to write different permutations of fated mates. So like the idea that there are two people who are destined to be together. And I know I don't have a book out with a fated mates trope, but I have done it. Like I've written about it in a lot of fan fiction. So and I truly love it. Like I guess there is something in my romantic little heart that loves the idea that, like, these two people were meant to find each other, and they were meant to be together. Yeah, and the universe is bringing them together. So it's probably from my Star Trek and Star Wars fan fiction origins, because both have very strong fated mates
Yeah,
themes in
totally.
them.
Totally. No, I love that. I tend to every once in a while that will come up. We'll be talking about, favorite tropes and things like that. And, I always will jump to like, oh, enemies to lovers or whatever, like I forget about some of the other ones that I don't get to read as often. And that is such a good one. That one just feels so good to read. You're
I
just like, oh,
know.
you're just meant to be. Like, it's against all odds. Like, it's just, yeah, no, that's a good one.
I
Do you have plans to write a Fated Mates in the future?
No comment.
Oh, okay. I will take that.
I'm very resentful that, like, because so I'm doing, the press for my next book, and I was like, I asked my editor, can I talk about future projects? And my
Yeah.
editor was like, my evil editor, whom I love so much, but who is evil, was like, no, firm no. And I was like, I love you, but I also hate you. And so yeah, so now I can't say anything and not comment.
Incredible. Incredible. Yeah, no, that is true for my I always, I'll ask like, "Oh, what are you working on next?" just to see, 'cause sometimes people can talk, it's like, "Oh, it's well known that I'm working on, the sequel to
Yeah,
or whatever."
100%, yeah.
But I always
I
sometimes I'm just
know.
like, "What are you working on?" And they're like,
It's
"Yeah,
so
I can't
frustrating because publishing times
tell."
are
It's
just
insane.
way more dilated than I ever thought before getting into publishing. And like the book that I'm talking about right now is so old news for me. I'm
Yeah.
like, okay, yes,
Absolutely.
fine. I mean, I've read that book, I've written that
Absolutely.
book, but like, I don't care anymore.
Months
But like,
ago.
what I want to talk about, what I really want to talk about, is what I can't talk about.
Yeah.
And so I'm like,
Yeah. I
Saving.
know. Like, I almost wish we could do the press like right after it gets like picked up by the editors. You know what I mean?
I
Like, I like when it's
know,
like
I
really
know,
fresh and like
I
they're.
know. Yeah,
I
that
get
would be amazing.
obviously, but
We should talk about this with like the bosses of publishing and be like, could we just like tweak the publishing
tweak
the
the timeline a little bit,
exactly the what
build
can we
up the
do about
hype.
this? Yes.
Yeah, I mean, we get advanced copies so early,
Right.
that.
It's 100%. I don't know. I don't know what is happening.
I literally, I was a big fan of this podcast that was about Buffy the Vampire Slayer, and they announced like a year ago that they were going to write a book, had not started writing it yet. And I
I love it.
emailed them that day, and I was like, "Hi, I have a podcast. Do you want to be on at some point?" And they were like, "Oh my God, we haven't even started writing, but yes, at some point, yes."
It. Is a book done?
No, I don't think they are writing it. It is
Okay,
they
soon.
have like a title and stuff. They're in the process and
Is it gonna
they're
be
talking about it.
Buffy themed
Yeah,
or?
so the podcast is this is so funny. I'm like
promoting other, but the podcast is called Buffering the Vampire Slayer, and it is two queer women who did a huge rewatch of Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Oh,
and
they my
did
God.
They did an episode for every episode, and they, you know, viewed the show through like a queer lens, and they would have experts on, and they would have people of color on to talk about like viewing it through all these different lenses and all these different perspectives. It's incredible. And they would also, one of them is a musician, and so she would write a song for every single episode that would play at the, I mean, it's incredible. Like, it was just like, it was amazing.
Yes. I need to listen to everyone. I need to listen with my friend. I have a friend who's also obsessed. So yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I have a daughter named Cordelia. So yeah.
Oh my God. I love this.
People are like, oh, is it Shakespeare? No.
Best name ever.
No, it's Buffy. Yeah. And so, yeah, eventually they will have a book out talking about
it. I love it. I love it. I love it.
So yeah, I jumped on that. So I was like, so I know that there's nothing yet, but when there is, do you want to come talk about it with me? And they were like, sure.
That is perfect. Perfect timing.
Yeah. So, you know, we can do stuff like that. Like, all right, yes. You're currently writing something. Let's talk about it.
That is when we authors really need to just like vomit everything that's in our head. Like, this choice that I'm making, I'm like, I'm agonizing over it. Is it right? Is it wrong? Should I go back and rewrite everything? And so that is truly the best time to be like,
yeah, let's chat.
Yes.
We can just do this. We can just, you and I can just like do this. We'll get it started. We'll make it a thing. With all that being said, I know we're coming up to the end of it. So I do always like to ask, have you read anything recently that you would like to recommend?
I mean, I am on deadline and I have not been reading very much, but I recently started, what's the Rosie Donnan's new book called?
Oh,
Do Your Worst.
There we go.
Okay. I recently started Do Your Worst and I'm really enjoying it. Really amazing. I love her writing always. I what else did I read recently? It's been, I am on that.
It's a hard question.
I mentioned that.
You're busy.
Yeah. It's been, usually I read several books a month, but like I have been trying to finish. I mean, books that, I've read The Name Drop by Susan Lee, which is a YA, amazing. I loved it. Forget Me Not by Julie Soro. It's coming out in July. Such a good, amazing book. And then The Hurricane Wars by Thea Guanzon. It's coming out in October. Nice. Romantasy. It's amazing.
Nice.
So yeah, these are things that I have.
Love that. Love that. Yeah, I definitely, I can't even imagine trying to read anything while also finishing a novel. Like,
it's, usually I can balance it better, but like this is, we're going on tour with my editor and my publicist, and I would love to finish this book before and turn it in before I go on tour.
Yeah, but just to like check it off your list. Yeah. All right, now I can just have fun.
But it's not going to work. I already know. I'm just lying to myself at this point.
That's okay. Ellie, oh my gosh, thank you so much. This has been such a delight.
Same.
I love this book, and I can't wait for it to come out so I can hand sell it and just have a blast. So
thank you so much. Please keep me updated on the Buffy book.
I will absolutely.
Very important.
Amazing. Well, best of luck with the launch, best of luck with tour, best of luck finishing your next book.
Oh, thank you so much. I will need it.
Awesome. Have a great rest of your day.
Bye.
Bye.
Huge thanks again to Allie Hazelwood for joining me on the podcast. Love Theoretically is available now from Gibson's Bookstore. You can email us about the podcast at thelaydownpodcast@gmail.com. Make sure you're following us on your favorite social media platforms. We're on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and TikTok. And all of those links will be in the show notes, along with this episode's shoppable list, which you can also find at gibsonsbookstore.com/laydown-books. Thank you all so much for listening. Don't forget to subscribe so you'll know when we upload our next episode, and consider leaving us a nice review. Until next time, we'll see you in the bookstore. Bye!